Michelle Morin here on the Michelle Morin Show. Donald Trump, what do you think about him? Well, if you're a listener to this show, you're probably very, very happy with what he's doing. I'm thrilled. And that, by default, means that the left is going crazy. And they can't stop trying to dismantle Trump piece by piece from every angle. It's relentless and incessant, and we've got to get used to it. I'm worried about him, to be completely honest with you. I'm worried about his safety. It's really interesting. I never expected this, as you know. If you've listened to me prior to a year ago, you would be really surprised if you were to jump into my show now and say, I can't believe she's talking about Trump like this. Well, you know, actions speak louder than words, especially for President Donald Trump. He doesn't always do what he says he's going to do. And he seems to be surrounded by people who know what's going on. And he's just doing amazing things. Did you know that he has promised to defund Pakistan by, I think it was 220, let's see. He tweeted on New Year's Day. This was like a delayed Christmas gift. On New Year's Day, he tweeted that the United States, quote, has foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years, and they've given us nothing but lies and deceit, thinking of our leaders as fools. They give safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan with little help. No more, unquote. That was a gift in and of itself. When is the last time we've heard a president say he's going to take money away from someone who's doing something bad to us?
About 2 weeks ago, he pulled $285 million from the UN. So about
Nikki
2 weeks
Haley.
Ago.
Yeah. Oh, and Nikki Haley.
Yes.
Oh, wow. She's one of my new heroes. I love knowing she's, if I see that she's been in the UN, I'm listening. She has got so much spine. She's got more spine in that room of the United Nations than anyone in there. She
yes.
goes in there quietly and confidently, gets out her speech, and just rips into these people. For their evil ways, for all the money they waste and all the money they abuse that we supply them. And she says, we're going to take names. We're going to take names.
It was the I equated her to like a mafia boss.
Yes.
It'd be a shame if people took away your funding.
You know what? I would like to pull that audio for the next segment if we can.
Yeah.
It's well worth listening to.
Yes.
So she did that on... Was that Christmas Eve?
I think it was it Christmas or maybe?
Maybe it was the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. That was probably one of the best Christmas gifts I've ever been given. I was so happy. I was so happy that Nikki Haley did that. It just, wow. So then a week later, President Trump is mad at Pakistan for lying to us and harboring terrorists, and he's going to pull the funding. Wow. I was just talking on one of my more recent shows about how the GOP views us as their little serfs, and it's not just the GOP. The Democrats do, too.
Government in general.
Yes. My frustration at that point in time was the GOP. But they really, in Congress, view us as their little serfs. And I feel like my wallet is their little Christmas stocking. And they take all the money out of my wallet, and they use it, and they have some of the best perks known to humankind in the whole world. Yeah,
they could sexually assault anyone they want and pay them off with your money.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Oh. Anyway, where was I? I was talking about
Trump.
Okay, I was talking about Trump.
Trump, Pakistan, his great things he's doing.
Okay, he is doing amazing things. Should I do the bad news? Let's do the bad. So a guy named Michael Wolff has written a book called Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House. I have not read the book, have not seen it. I've seen a few excerpts and not sure I'm going to read it. I don't know that I need to because I know how much the left hates Trump. But before the show began, Jason was commenting on, I've never seen so much incessant attacks against a sitting president. And I haven't either. I don't think any of us have. And honestly, it's because he's doing what's right, and he's doing it at mock speed.
Yeah.
And he's doing things that I wouldn't have even put on my list to think of because I never would have thought a president would have had the guts to do it, such as taking money away from the UN,
yes,
taking money away from Pakistan. I'm really? You're going to do this? So Michael Wolff writes this book. The premise of the book is basically, he told the BBC yesterday, he said, the story that I've told seems to present this presidency in such a way that it says he can't do his job. The emperor has no clothes. And suddenly everywhere, people are going, oh my God, is it true he has no clothes? That's the background to the perception and the understanding that will finally end this, that will end this presidency. That's a quote from the author of the book. He said, he told the BBC that his sources had concluded, no, this man can't function in this job as president. He may have been elected president, but that does not turn him into president. I'm going to come back to that quote in just a minute. I'm going to come back to that.
Okay, okay.
That one really makes me mad.
It doesn't make sense on a fundamental level.
It means okay, I'll talk about it
okay,
now.
Okay, let's get into
he
that.
He hates you and me who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Well, you serfs can elect him all you want, but that doesn't make him president.
It's literally denying the results.
It
sorry.
Is.
You guys voted for him, and he won, but he's not really president.
Yep. So the author goes on, quote, I think he's intellectually incapable of being president of the United States. He also described the president as ineffectual, incapable of passing legislation, implementing policy, or producing regulations. Now, okay, hold on. Hold on. Well, incapable of passing legislation, number one, that's not the president's job or powers. Presidents don't pass legislation. Congress does. Okay? So, yeah, if he's incapable, that's a good thing. Unlike the former guy.
Who had a phone and a pen,
phone
right?
And a pen and made his own legislation. He said he's ineffectual at implementing policy. Oh, no, 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 no. You want to see some policy that's been implemented? Here's some policy that's been implemented from the Daily Wire. Trump reduced refugees by 70% his first year in office. And the left is saying he's incapable of implementing policy?
Well, there's a small parenthesis. It's supposed to be our policies.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Speaking of those statistics, let's just go through them. This Daily Wire compiled these for me. From January 20th to December 20th last year, the Center for Immigration Studies reports that total admissions of refugees was 28,875. Of those, 53% were Christians, 32% were Muslim, 5% were Buddhist, and 4% were Hindu. Over half were Christians, and only 32% were Muslims. Now, let's break it down from January 20th to December 20th of 16 with Obama. Total admissions, nearly 94,000. And Muslims were 45%, Christians were 44%, Buddhists 3%, and Hindus at 2%. Okay, so thank you, excellent Trump. That's good. And, you know, had the judges not intervened and blocked his temporary bans, those numbers would have been way down, way, way down. So back to Mr. Michael Wolff, the author of Fire and Fury. He goes on and says, I think he's intellectually incapable of being president of the United States, and this man can't function in this job as president. So guess who's running with the book? It's real easy.
Yes.
Big media.
Every single... Well, maybe Fox News is not running with it.
Crazy. So a few quotes here. We have audio somewhere of one of Trump's advisors, Miller. Where is that? I don't think I have the paper for the audio, so we're just going to wing it here. One of Trump's advisors,
Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller went on Jake Tapper's show,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about the book.
Yes.
And it's a lengthy audio, but we cut some of it out. I wanted you to hear some of the exchange between Miller and Jake Tapper. And Miller just stands his ground. It's a beautiful exchange on that end. But listen to Jake Tapper not only defend his hatred of Trump, but shut Miller down. Miller asked, I don't know if you got it, Jason, Miller asked for a few minutes to just clear the record. Tapper actually came out and said, no, I'm not going to let you do that on my show.
Yep.
Let's listen to it.
I have no knowledge of anything to do with that meeting.
Okay.
But what I can tell you unequivocally is
that's Miller.
That the allegations and insinuations in this book, which are a pure work of fiction, are nothing but a pile of trash through and through.
Well,
just to finish, Jake, because, you know, your network's been going 24/7 with all this salacious coverage, and I know that it brings a lot of you guys a lot of joy to trying to stick the knife in. But the reality is that page after page after page of the book is pure false. I see sections of the book where events I participated in are described, and I have firsthand knowledge that as they're described, they're completely and totally fraudulent.
Okay.
All these so-called political geniuses in Washington, whether it be at the big lobbying firms or
the only
many
person
of the
who's called himself a genius
Congress,
in the last week is the president, but
happens to be a true statement.
Okay,
a self-made billionaire who revolutionized reality TV and who has
sure
changed the course of our politics.
He's watching and he's happy that you said that. But
you know, Jake, you can be condescending.
I'm not being condescending. I'm trying to get to the point that Steve Bannon.
You
really?
Can be condescending. That was a snide remark. You're sure he's watching and he's happy? Let me tell you something.
Why is
your network? You can be as condescending as you want as part of your MO, but listen, you can have 24/7.
I have no idea why you're attacking me.
Well, I'll explain to you.
My point is,
tell you why I'm attacking
Steve Bannon.
Jake, you can have a 24/7.
Help push the president's travel ban.
I'm so glad you brought that up because
just,
that's one of the fake news items in the book.
Steven,
I would happen to know better than you would, Jake, about how the travel ban was written. Steve Bannon didn't push the travel ban.
If you let me ask this question.
No, because you have 24 hours of negative anti-Trump hysterical coverage on this network that led in recent weeks to some spectacularly embarrassing false reporting.
I think the viewers right now can ascertain who's being hysterical.
The viewers are entitled to have 3 months of the truth. Why don't you just give me 3 minutes to tell you the truth about Donald Trump that I know and then all of our campaign staff
know? Because it's my show and I don't want to do that. So,
can you believe that? Can you believe that?
It's my show, and I'm not going to let
yes.
you do that.
If you know, I guess as a show host myself, I could get a power trip like that if I had a guest on who, you know, was vehemently wanting to get in his side. Why would I do that if I have the guest on? Oh, I know why. So that I could corner and bamboozle the guest and make them look like a complete idiot. I don't want them to have their 3 minutes to clear up all the lies that were in the book. And then the very end of the interview is telling as well. It's just a very short clip. I want you to hear this as well between Miller and Jake Tapper.
For the American people,
I get it.
The real experience of Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious.
No,
you're being a factotum in order to please him. Okay.
No.
And I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time.
You know who
Thank
I care
Stephen.
About?
As Republicans,
hey,
lawmakers
you
call
know
for
who
a time.
There you go. I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. This is big media. This is CNN. Interestingly enough, I just learned this today. President Trump is planning on doing some type of fake news awards ceremony.
Oh,
did you know about that?
No.
Yes.
Does he have an actual, like, a plaque or an award?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I hope he does.
You know, and it's really funny. I'm going to deviate here for a minute. The Independence Institute here in Colorado, I should probably see if I can get John Caldera to join us. The Independence Institute in Colorado, about a week or two ago, had a 5-day award being given to the most Californian person in Colorado. And they awarded people from like Jared Polis because of all the environmental things he wants to implement and the costs.
I love that.
And then some random people that I had not heard of. The winner was Jerry Sonnenberger, a GOP lawmaker who attacked Tabor. here in Colorado and completely disregarded our rights as Colorado voters. And I've got to tell you, what John Caldera and the Independence Institute did with this award system is brilliant. It was so much fun watching, knowing they were going to have 5 days of these awards. And interestingly, it's a GOP guy at the end.
I would hope in my heart, I would hope that they would accept it, not knowing, oh, it's an award. Thank you so much. Give it to me.
Apparently, they're going to show up at the Capitol and actually award them somehow or another. So I would love to be there for that. But yes, and so anyway,
it's almost a shame that they announced it. I want them to just go in and just say, "We have an award for you, sir," and just
It was brilliant. It was totally brilliant. So I don't know if Trump caught wind of that, but he tweeted just in the last day or so, "I've had to put up with the fake news from the first day I announced that I would be running for president. Now I have to put up with a fake book written by a totally discredited author. Ronald Reagan had the same problem and handled it well. So will I." And then he tweeted a couple tweets later, "The fake news awards, those going to the most corrupt and biased of the mainstream media, will be presented to the losers on Wednesday, January 17th.
That's coming up.
It is.
I hope it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I want a
televised award ceremony.
Yeah.
And
very
I want Jake Tapper to come up for...
Someone needed to do this. I'm actually not sure how I feel about the President of the United States doing it.
Yeah.
I'm actually not very comfortable with that. Somebody needs to do it, though. And I'll go ahead and tune in, whatever he does. It's probably going to be a tweet or something. Who knows? But
probably.
It's really a fun idea, and it points at the truth.
Well, you're taking away our freedom of the press, Michelle. You can't say
that.
Fake news, that's terrible. You're ruining free press or freedom of speech.
So let's hear some more audio about some of the vile attacks against Trump. We've got Democratic Representative Steve Cohen from Tennessee. He was on MSNBC on Sunday. He had this to say about our president.
Donald Trump is the most despicable human being to ever reside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Why? Why does he ever have to? Why is he the most despicable person? Well, he tweeted later and he followed up on it. He said he golfs. This is Representative Cohen saying about Trump. Quote, "He golfs when he could be reading or be in church or be with..." I'm not making this up. "Or be with his family." This is a Democrat.
We need to see how often this man is in church or reading.
That was my question.
Because it's one thing to call him. If he's reading constantly and he's in church every day, then you know what? Good on you.
He continues. "Never see him with Barron. You'd think he'd be golfing with Dad occasionally, but narcissists only engage in activities where they are the show. No movies, sports viewing either, just Fox. He will start a war." Unquote.
Wow.
That's what he said. So that's one angle, and Cohen went on, but here's another one. Saturday on MSNBC, Representative Greg Meeks, a Democrat from New York, just listen to this. He had this to say about Trump.
"Listen, I'm concerned about my Republican colleagues for their willingness to give up the institutions of the United States for politics. You know, generally we come together and say what's more important than anything else is the institutions of Congress, but the institutions of the United States of America."
Okay, let's just clarify. By institutions, he does not mean our founding documents. He does not mean the Capitol. He does not mean the White House. He does not mean the military. He means bureaucracies that are in place to make government big.
Yeah, we need that tax money.
That's right. All right, keep going with Gregory Meeks from New York.
"And what is happening now with this president and with them as co-conspirators is the undermining of our democratic institutions." It is. You know, what Mr. Trump seems to want to be, it reminds me more of Russia than the United States of America.
Okay. Play that again, if you would.
I wanted to point out, you said you wanted to correct his grammar.
Yeah.
He said democracy.
That's what you just stole my thunder.
Okay.
You just stole my thunder.
Let's play that again.
Play it again.
And what is happening now with this president and with them as co-conspirators is the undermining of our democratic institutions.
That was my second point. Of our democratic institutions. He just said what he means. Of our democratic institutions. And he didn't mean democracy. He meant the party. That's what he's really talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you say it enough, you're like, well, there's no Republican Party. It's all That's Democratic, right?
That's right. All right, keep going.
It is, what Mr. Trump seems to want to be. It reminds me more of Russia than the United States of America.
Russia? What do you know about Russia? Have you studied the former Soviet Union and current Russia, sir?
To be fair, he is a Dem, so he probably knows a lot about Russia.
I don't think he does, unless he... He would want us to be more like Russia.
He wants the USSR. Socialism.
It reminds what Trump seems to want reminds me more of Russia. Okay, keep going.
So the polarization, the partisan divide, do you see any solution to bringing everybody together? I mean, is there anything on the agenda that you say we're all going to work together on this?
Well, I think that if the Republicans would come and let's do things really in an open process.
Because you're so transparent, Mr. Meeks.
Well, I like how they needed to get Obamacare through, so we don't have time to read it. Just pass it, we'll get it later. But now they want to read every page of every document ever created.
All right. Let's finish up his audio here. It gets better.
And so here again, we're in a atmosphere of a foreign government that's totalitarian, where the president is saying that I can go after my political enemies.
Really? What about Lois Lerner, who went after all of Obama's political enemies using the IRS?
Yeah.
When has Trump gone after his political enemies in anything even resembling that?
Well, he's defending himself. He's calling CNN fake news. He's going after everyone.
Oh, and the last part of the clip, did you get any more?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, he said, we want our institutions to put somebody in jail. He's saying Trump wants to put people in jail. Okay. So anyway, the blather, the insanity, the lies, they just don't stop. And I know that Kim Jong-un talked about some button on his desk to, start a nuclear war, and then Trump said, well, mine's bigger. I think it's warranted in our time.
In my personal opinion, you have to speak his language. If he's going to start talking about his button and how great it is, all right, we just need to explain to you that we are the United States and we have a bigger button. We do.
All right, so I've got more to share about Trump. Coming up next, we've got one of Hillary's advisors talking to, it looks like, some college students about how he fears that the extra money the millennials are getting back in their pockets might...
All these good things are going to make you vote wrong.
Vote for Trump. We're going to go into that, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about some of Trump's successes economically in the year he's been in office. And we've got middle schoolers in Wisconsin who took a privilege test. I want to share that with you, too. All this and more when we come back on The Michelle Morin Show.